Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, welcome to Patreon, your... Oh God, what the hell is this called?
I don't know where you were going with that.
Reality family
your source, edition? Your source for all things Amber and Matt and Tanya. Yeah. Say Tanya.
The scoliosis.
What did she say?
This rupture.
Well, oh shit, now I already forgot.
Yeah, no, I think it was, what was it? Is scoliosis? Yeah, I think it was a rupture. Whatever. Everyone can go listen to that episode.
Okay.
Yeah. All okay. I know is that I'm getting my prescription on Tuesday.
This episode starts Tuesday. Right out with Tanya, by the way, like monologuing.
It is Tanya heavy this week.
I love knowing that whenever Tanya says something in my notes, I just write Tanya, colon, and then nothing, because I know you're going to die. You're going to do it. So.
Oh, I got it all.
Yikes. I got a lot of Matt stuff, too. Also, I think this is going to be a clip-heavy episode because, okay, this episode was the most... Several things. What do you okay? Like, what was this episode the most to you?
Dramatic. Okay. Heavy. Yeah. Deep.
Cringy.
Yeah.
A little fucked up,
especially towards the end. Very fucked up.
I was like that shocked emoji with like the blue with the ghosty like hands on his face emoji.
Yeah. How many years ago was this on?
Okay, because like I did right? such a deep dive. This aired in 2018, and this is important for important. This is important for y'all
to
know.
For Amber.
It's important for you all to know that Matt's book came out in 2017. So we just like his book came out before this episode. Before we start actually getting into the episode, I want to apologize for this being a couple days late as I had a fucking terrible few days. And again, I want to thank Jody for getting me through it. I'm sure yesterday was awful for you too.
No. I felt bad for you. So
I know, but like
Polly
is Polly Walnuts.
The catnip heaven above us looking down.
Yeah, he's with Rose in heaven. I got the diagnosis.
Did they ever meet each other, by the way?
Yeah, they know. They lived together for, like, ever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's,
oh,
like,
that's
the,
so cute. Okay.
They didn't really care for each other.
They do now.
Yeah, she's like, oh, hey, I guess you can hang out with me and my friends. basically, on Friday night, he started acting slightly weird. I was expecting them
that
to
was
just...
like, right after we got done recording, because you texted me almost immediately when we got done.
And I was like, he just seems, like, off.
Something's wrong.
And then the next morning, 12 hours later, the vet was like, he's dying. And I was expecting it to be, like, you know, he has a heart murmur now, or because he's older, but, like, or something that I could just get meds for, that I could just give him the rest of his life. But it was like, no, there's, like, literally nothing they could do.
I don't want you to cry again. But
I'm not going to. I know it sounds like I'm about to.
Did you get him as a rescue? Did you get him as a rescue or what?
Yeah, well, actually, the story, and I'm sure I've told this on Squirrel Friends or on everything, but me and Brad lost our cat, Corky St. Clair.
Right.
And he was a tuxedo cat, and we had to put him down because he had a stroke. He was a runt, so runts usually don't live that long. He only lived, like, 5 or 6 years, but... He passed in the middle of the night. He had a stroke. Aww. And that was the worst also. But We were like, let's get another cat. We don't want another tuxedo cat. So we went on Pet Finder, but we kept seeing this black and white cat named Mickey Mouse on Pet Finder in like this rescue group. And we contacted them and we're like, it's a tuxedo cat, but it's really cute. And we both really think it's going to be the one. So the rescue group is like, oh, sorry. We just sent him off to someone else. And we're like, oh, okay. So then they called us back the next day and they're like, oh, actually, no, we do still have Mickey Mouse. So come get him. So we went and got him and it was Polly. Aww. And we were like, okay. He was like a little bigger than we expected. So we bring him home and then like, it was probably like 2 years later. I was looking just at his records that they gave us that we didn't even look at. And it wasn't fucking Mickey Mouse. It was his goddamn brother named Mikey. They fucking gave us this cat we didn't even ask for. Mikey.
Oh my God, Mikey. Instead of Mickey.
They were like, this is the one. They're like, this is the one you wanted. Don't look at these papers.
It was probably someone like Leah from Teen Mom who's like, ew, here's
Oh, no, that's
Mickey.
The one.
M-I-K-E-Y. That's Mickey.
Listen, I'm not judging them. I think it was because it was like a box of kittens found on like a like the front of a hotel, I think, or something. But so the foster person had all of the pets. I'm sure she was probably just like, let's just keep like let's get these fucking cats out of here. Anyway, yeah, so he was arrested. Yeah, I guess. But anyway, so I took him home. I was hoping he'd pass on his own, but it was just fine. Everyone was telling me, like, you're gonna know. And then yesterday I knew. So I had a person come to the house to do it. It was really fucking expensive, but I would recommend that to anybody. Any pet owner out there who needs, it's totally, unless your pet does pass naturally at home, but I would recommend that to anyone. It was like, I have no regrets about that at all. It was non-traumatic for me to watch. Like I got to just, I stood kind of behind him cause I kept hearing from everyone, don't look at his face. So I just put my hands like on his body and then he passed. It was awesome. It was awesome. Like, I mean, it was awful, but it was
right.
And I was on about 5 days of zero sleep. So I slept 15 hours last night after eating an entire cheeseburger pizza from Domino's.
That sounds so disgusting. And you've gotten it before.
It's Stockholm syndrome. I keep getting
it. And you said it was gross. I was kidding when you text me. I ordered a pizza. And I'm like, oh, not the cheeseburger one. You're like, no, I got the cheeseburger.
That's what
I
got.
Jesus. Here we go.
Because it has this weird topping on it that's like ketchup and mustard together.
Oh, God.
Like
you can
taste both ingredients.
It was so foul.
Listen, Jody, I would have eaten anything at that point.
There's ground
beef.
It's just ground beef sprinkled.
Which I don't like. I don't like ground beef. I don't like hamburgers really. Like, but I'm addicted to this goddamn pizza. But listen. So I watched my cat pass away last night. But let me tell you, or yesterday afternoon. I don't know why I specified that, like anyone cares. But after that, I told you, I'm like, I'm going to go and like get some ZQL and a bottle of wine.
And I'm a great friend, like, pizza. Do it. Like, just take much of it that you forget everything and you black out for days.
Honestly, this already feels like I know, I almost feel like it seems vulgar that I'm laughing about it already, but it already seems like it was weeks ago that this happened because I slept so long. But I watched my cat pass yesterday. I saw something more horrific than that as I was about to buy wine. So I went to buy the ZQL first. So I'm standing in line at Walgreens. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. This woman who was, God, she probably was my age, but she looked maybe, 10, 20 years older. Just like skin and bones. Some song was playing on the, and honestly, I probably looked just as terrible as she did because I was just like, ugh. Like just, when you cried every tear in your body. She walked, so it was outrageous. I'm the next person in line, and this crazy woman, she looks homeless, but I don't know if she was, and a song was playing, and I could hear her walking up behind me, like singing along with it, and kind of like feeling the music, and I was like, okay, like, I guess fine, like,
she's into it.
Live, laugh, love, dance, dance right. Like no one's watching type thing. So she walks up to, there's one person that I that is attending the till, and she walks up to like the till next to this person, and she's holding just a bunch of shit, like a purse, like all new items, like some socks, a purse, new sunglasses. And she puts them down, and then the last thing she sets down, oh my God, this is dark, is open and empty thing of little Vienna sausages that she had just apparently been walking around the store eating out of the can. Sets that down.
Wait, cold? Like a cold hot dog?
Like, she clearly went into the store, grabbed a bunch of shit, and then ate Vienna
hot dog juice.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just cold Vienna sausages. If I had been less, like, fucked up from how upset I was, like, I think I would have processed this more, but I'm just now kind of processing it as I talk about it. So then I see her kind of, she's still standing there dancing. I don't know what she was doing. She clearly ate the Vienna sausages. And then she walks out of the store like she stole them, which, and I saw an employee like watching this happen. And I just think he was like, I'm not fucking
on something.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was like, okay. I thought she might've just been crazy, but anyway, she walks out of the store and an employee is watching this happen. Like, just like, I'm not getting paid enough to handle this. And also the Vienna sausages are what, like $1.09 for like a little tin of Vienna sausages. But I mean,
guess it was kind of her to bring up her potential purchases.
I guess, because she was very jovial and she was way out in the open dancing and singing.
She was on something, had no idea.
Well, no, don't worry. There's an ending to this. So I'm like, oh, still watching. So then she walks out and like, there's the window. Like, it's all glass, so you can see. And she's standing there, like, looking in the window. I'm like, what is happening? I'm just like, why is nobody addressing what is happening? She just stole your Vienna sausages, yeah, sir. And so then I buy my items. Like, okay. I walk out. I'm like, okay, that woman's gone. And I walk out. And the next door is the liquor store. I'm about to buy my red wine. And I turn. And she's sitting on the ground in, like, the corner, facing the corner, smoking crack. Just smoking crack out of a pipe. It was definitely a crack pipe. I've watched enough Breaking Bad at this point.
Okay, what does the pipe look like? So you knew it was crack.
It's not, well, it was either crack or whatever else you smoke out of those, but it wasn't weed because weed has like a little bowl. A crack pipe is like an enclosed thing that you like you put it in and you heat it up. Okay. It looks like the same thing as a weed bowl, but it's, you just smoke it differently. The thing goes inside. But
and she's just there out in the open.
Just smoking this.
She's going at it.
And I was like, should I say something? And I'm like, well, you know what? Like, her day's already seems pretty shot.
I wouldn't confront,
like,
someone in the middle.
Well, I wasn't going to say something to her, but I was like, should I tell somebody about this? But yeah. I'm like, I don't want to really, what business is, I'm like.
You know what Jody would have done?
What? Been a Karen?
A WWJD, what would Jody do? I guarantee you, I would have been like, I'll pay for her sausages. I'll go ahead. I would have just volunteered for no reason whatsoever. I would have paid for her goods.
I was just concerned.
And then I would have walked out and I would have like smiled at her and be like, have a good day.
She wasn't facing anyone though. She was facing like the court, like a
pipe. I know, but I'm an idiot. I feel like now I need to make her happy. I take on.
I don't know, Jody. It was a dark moment. I was like, this is more horrific than what I just.
She's having the worst
day than I am. Yeah, she's like, and now God has shown me something worse than my cat.
I think that was Polly sending you a sign, like, look, girl.
He's like, check this out, though.
You're good.
I mean,
it could be like this.
Yeah, he's like, you're gonna be all right. Anyway, then I bought a bottle of red wine. I corked it, poured a glass, ate my cheeseburger pizza, and then I passed out before I even drank anything. And then the whole bottle was ruined.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah.
That was my day yesterday.
Tell you what. Tanya would definitely be drinking that red wine. That's not going to
I this. Thought you were going to say Tanya would be drinking that Vienna sausage water.
Ooh. I can, like, I see the package laying on top of her sweatshirt or her purse or whatever.
No, she, like, said it. Oh. She just, yeah, no, it's just, I almost, like, wish I'd taken a picture, but it was just one of the darkest, most confusing. It was just confusing to me because I was still processing what just happened to me. And I was like, she just eat those sausages? I just couldn't understand what she was doing.
That would have been the most thrilling day of my life.
It probably would have been mine too.
But I would have been calling, so texting, crazy. Posting everything all over.
And Lisa, it's not funny. It's like terrible. I've just never seen anything in person like that.
Out in the wild.
Other than that time that I saw that homeless man's dick at Herald Square subway station. I saw a full penis just laying out on this homeless man. Yeah, those are the two most crazy things I've ever seen.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
But anyway, let's get on to this other, like, this, okay, so this is the third craziest thing that I've seen the past couple days.
The title of this episode is Scrooged and Abused. I didn't have any idea that
they're having fun. They're having fun with these titles. Yeah, they're like, this is zany. This is so fucked up.
This aired only 2 years ago because I feel like even at that time people would have been like, "Are they?
This is not okay.
Are they really airing this? Having children later involved,
dude." So okay, so there's gonna be like child actors. Like trigger warning, child actors coming up abundant. Yeah. The first one was like older. I was like, this one's clearly like 28, like having to say these things, like just using like a child's voice. But yeah. Then like a couple like 7 or 8 year olds came out and were like saying like, I could not believe that this
actually happened.
Also,
like 24 months ago,
these reality stars that are on there, like Amber and Tanya, they're all like horrific, but they are still people with lives that went through this stuff, except for Matt because he's lying. But this is not. I can't imagine any doctor would be like, "This is the way to right? like have them handle this."
Crew, a casting person, like, you know what? I have a great kid for this role that you guys need. Let me call them up.
So would you let Paige like Never. Take you know $50 to be like, "My daddy used to walk around
not
naked
even,
and
not even $500, maybe $5,000, depending
on yeah, I mean, it'd be like a college fund for her.
Not their daily rate, whatever they were getting.
That paid. Little boy had to be like, "I was sexually abused." And then Matt's like, "This is fucked up." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's fucked up because you lied.
You're lying.
You're lying. Liar. And now this poor kid has to say this." Okay, we're gonna get to it, guys. Right. It's just a lot to take on here. Let's
All
do
right.
it.
Let's jump into it. It is day 7 that they have been in the
I
house.
Could not believe it when they said that.
I went back because I was like, 17? It's got to be more than 17 days. I was like, oh, 7.
Because at one point in this episode, Matt's like, "I can't believe it. We're only halfway done. I can't believe it." I'm like, "It's not. You haven't even been there a week, though. You're like on like the week.
Six nights, 7 days. Day 7. Okay,
if you were in detox, you would still be like going through withdrawal.
Jesus. Okay.
The opening thing we get to see is Guy shirtless walking around the room. Like, "What time is it?" And Brandy's like, "Oh, it's 8:30. I'm like, 8:30? Like, yeah. I've accomplished 5 things by 8:30 every day. Everyone's like wiping their eye.
Yeah. If I'm not intermittent fasting, I'm already on second breakfast at 8:30. Like, no. All right. Well, let's check in with Tanya.
She's just talking to I don't know who, because Matt's having a separate conversation with, I think, Jim.
I thought Matt was signing.
I did too. I rewound it.
Was legitimately doing sign language for her.
But he was just, they clearly just muted his microphone and like heated up.
He's talking to someone very gestured with his hands. Because I was watching it. I was like, "Oh, look at him."
It looked like sign language.
Yes. Like when you see like Governor Cuomo giving his thing and you see the interpreter in the background.
Or it looks like in like A League of Their Own when Tom Hanks and Gina Davis are both doing all like the all the signs to Marla Hooch. Okay. What's Tanya talking about?
"I know who I was. I was 17. I was out of the house. I moved to Indiana and then I moved to Georgia, and that's where I had my first son at. Then I moved from Georgia to Florida, and that's where I had Amber. And I came back to Indiana because my husband at the time was into strip joints all the time. My husband and I, we had a toxic relationship."
She's very Southern heavy, and I think it's because it was in the morning. I've noticed that throughout the day, she loses a Southern twang.
Also, how on brand is it that Amber's from Florida? It's like a Florida native. Like, of course she is. Like, Amber was like eating bath salts like as a baby, for sure.
From Florida to Anderson, Indiana. Of course.
I mean, I had no choice. I mean, I was
No,
trapped.
Mom, mommy, you were not trapped.
I was trapped.
They're on the couch at that point, and Matt, at that moment, puts his head back like,
that was the exact reaction Dave had when I was like, "Hey, Dave, we should do that target challenge."
Like, rubbing his
I just want to kill myself.
What a episode is that from?
It's from The Office.
No, I know it's from The Office, but what episode? Oh,
the one that we just did. It wasn't at Halloween where Jim was pretending to be Michael. Yeah, so Amber is telling her mom that she wasn't trapped, and this was before Amber was even born, basically.
Right.
So she has no memory, but of course Amber knows. Now, inside, we have the Graziano sisters, and they're talking about their childhood. Obviously, producers were like, hey, guys, ask each other about your childhood.
Yeah. And Amber's there, like, about to rocket out of her seat, waiting for someone to ask her about herself. She's like, and then somebody finally is like, I mean, do you want to talk about the Granzianos? One of them says, like, oh, I think it was Jen.
It was Jen. She never wanted to leave school because she loves school. We're like, ooh.
And then finally,
more, young white girl.
Yeah,
shocking.
I know, right? Then it's like, I think it's ADR.
ASMR.
No, ADR. When you put in the voice afterward. Like you know, like in editing where you put in, you do a voiceover after. It doesn't matter. I feel like there was like a fake voice that they edited in it. Afterwards saying, Amber, what about your childhood? And Amber's like, oh, thank you for asking.
And Amber is in her polygamist poof hair.
Yeah, she's
it's
got
the
a
French
snooki
braid with the polygamist poof in the front.
Yeah, but with the same bun.
Yes.
My childhood, I never wanted to do anything in my childhood or in school because I skipped all the time and I got kicked out anyway. And everyone laughs. That's funny. That is funny.
That's hilarious.
I think Tanya might be in the room, and Tanya's like, yeah, she sure was. Yeah. That's my Amber. My mom was never, ever home, and that's how I got into drugs. So she needs to be accountable for some of the shit that went down with me.
Well, I'm Chrissy. What about your mom's dad? What about her dad?
Her dad was an alcoholic, too. So, you know, that's why. I mean, me and my brother are just trying to break that cycle, she says.
I can't believe you actually said that without breaking into a laugh. Amber.
You're doing a bang up job on that.
This cycle of her mom never being around.
And being being an alcoholic on drugs.
Jesus.
She also looks around at everyone like, I mean, that's why, you know, that's why I am this very particular
I am
person.
More messed up than you are. Like, it's a competition to see.
Yeah, the doctors are in the other room just. Interesting. Dr. V is holding one of those, like, if you get, like, a BarkBox toy and, like, the little thing inside is, like,
a little plastic
ball with little spikes on it. We all know what it is. She's holding that and just, like, playing with it in her hands.
Stress
like,
ball.
They're really trying to put this together here.
They think Amber's trying to lay all the blame for all the things she's done at her mom's feet.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And Dr. V actually says, here's a quote, she's swallowing the mom's rage that Tanya isn't as victimized as she would like everyone to believe.
That was word salad to me because I
wrote
that
me
down
too.
As
I didn't
well.
Get that.
I don't
she's
understand
swallowing
what she was
the mom's rage. I'm like, what?
But okay, so she's swallowing the mom's rage, but then this is like Matt's book. This is how badly worded this was.
Okay, gotcha.
She's swallowing the mom's rage that Tanya isn't as victimized as she would like everyone to believe. As
meaning
Tanya
she
would
Tanya
like to...
or she Amber? Yeah,
I mean they're both full of shit. I feel worse for Tanya than Amber. I don't feel bad for Amber at all.
So Chrissy says that her dad was on drugs. He used to cheat on her mom all the time.
Right.
And this is crazy. Chrissy's mom's mother-in-law, so like her grandma.
So Chrissy's grandma.
Would walk all over her mom. She was totally mean to her. She was like an overbearing mother-in-law. Weird.
Weird. Huh? And she like literally like points over at mama and mama's like, don't be looking at me. Don't be talking about me like that.
Mama later when the kids come out. Oh my God, that's so good. Okay, so Lana and Renee, the Grazianos, have a cycle of miscommunication or something, whatever. And then they call all the families to the boot camp room and jingle bell, jingle all the way.
Brandy's like, I love Christmas! Christmas is my favorite holiday! I'm like, Christmas is everyone's favorite holiday.
Exactly.
Why, and like Easter?
Decorating the room for Christmas, it means there is a single Christmas tree in the corner.
With, like,
some
presents.
I mean, the
presents.
Budget is very slim.
Brandy's like, I thought we were getting presents. I'm like, you did? Because, like,
oh, you do?
Oh, you did? Because What in the past, again, 7 days has led you to believe that you're going to get a present at this point? Yeah. This day seemed like the worst. Like, they all looked like me and that crackhead outside.
It was a heavy day. It was a heavy day.
By the end, they were all cut.
The Christmas holiday theme, much like all of the theme days,
it's a reach.
Yeah, it starts out like strong. You see where they might go with it, and then you just kind of forget at the end.
Right. They start out by being like, what does Christmas and the holidays mean to you? And they're like, fighting, you know, family fighting. And Amber's like,
Yeah. Dr. Ish, what comes to mind when you think of the holidays? It's simultaneously the happiest time of the year, but it can also be the most depressing. What? Divorces, depression, and suicide all increase during the holidays. I was like, well, Jesus, if we weren't thinking about it, we're thinking about it now.
But then what the exercise is has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. What do you think of when you think of the holidays? Because here's what I think of. Food.
Yeah.
Period.
I think of
food and presents.
Putting up like cozy tree Christmas lights at night.
I love Christmas.
Yeah, the house is lit on the inside only by Christmas little twinkly lights, fireplace, red wine, watching like Dateline or something, like cozy nights watching stuff.
Thanksgiving, I just think of like food and the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah.
And I make like $200 at church.
Well, apparently we should be thinking about divorces, depression, and suicide. God.
My God.
And does Matt have any idea what's going on?
Oh, my God. Hang on. I have it here.
It's right after they walk in to the room decorated in Christmas.
Okay. I wrote all this stuff about, like, Renee, but, like, it's, like, not.
Okay.
I had no clue what was going to be in store. Tried to think about it, but I couldn't come up with anything that made sense.
Like, nothing? Nothing at all, maybe.
Oh, you tried to think about it? I'm sure no one was looking to you either, Matt, for the definition
Matt,
of what...
Matt, can you...
Matt, what do you think's happening? Who's the smartest one in the room? Oh, Matt.
Hey, Matt, you want to get up there with the doc and fill us in? What's going on?
This is where also really... He's over it. Like, he is so done. I think he leaves maybe the next episode, but...
He is very over it. But first, it's time to dive into your past to fix the future.
Oh, Matt goes, I'm ready to do that. I'm also not convinced it's gonna work. Okay, I don't know when to go into my discovery here. But, okay, no, let's just keep talking and then
let's wait. Okay,
I'll break it down.
We have the doctor split him into two groups. Dr. Ish goes, who's wearing like a German Nazi uniform suit coat. Did you get that?
I didn't really notice that.
It was concerning. I'll try to find a picture.
Okay.
He takes Brandy, Matt, Jim, Tanya and Jen.
Brandy's like, I think this might be, or is it? No. Is it Matt that says this or Brandy?
No, Matt goes, I'm not gonna enjoy this.
Brandy goes, I think that the way they separated us is calculated. I have a feeling that there's a reason. This wasn't random. Okay, Brandy, thank you.
They're taking one person from each family. Chrissy is kind of pissed because she doesn't trust Brandy around Jimmy anymore. And I
Does she say that?
Yeah.
I missed
and
that.
And I noticed when Jim leaned back on the couch to do
one of his 3,000 yawns of the episode, yeah.
He's wearing button fly jeans and there are two buttons that are not even buttoned. He like just went
love
for the
it.
Top one. And
that
the
makes
whole
me love
flap
that makes me love him even more.
Open.
He's like one, two, good enough.
He still doesn't have the energy. He's like, oh,
I fucking love him so much.
I'm tired.
So, yeah, all they right, have to figure out when their own cycle started. So they're going to dig up some paint. They each have to get up. It's like this is like an AA meeting.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, talk about something that was painful for your
childhood. Dr. Ish, his explicit instruction to the group was, I want each person to come up and share a painful memory with the group. Oh, okay, that sounds like a fantastic start to group therapy. Yay! Everyone come up and say the most painful thing that's ever happened to you.
So my first thought though, Jody, like I swear to God, I was like, I guess I'd probably go up and just talk about how I always got bullied for being fat and that my dad like still calls me fat. And then Lana goes up and she says her first memory is being 13, being ridiculed because of her weight by her father. And I was like,
I know, like, I knew you and I were gonna be like, yep.
Yeah, feel that. It. And I know, honestly, like, that's, like, the best thing out of all of everyone's stories. Like, that's, like, the least traumatic, but it is still
fucking
traumatic.
I'm going to say Brandy's
traumatic.
Was, but we'll get there. Okay, so Lana said her dad called her fat, and then she later kind of got into a marriage with a guy who was pretty similar. Jen said her dad would get upset with her because she wasn't being loyal enough. She wasn't as affectionate with him as he wanted her to be.
Right. We have all three of the Granzianos talking about their specific stories and it's kind of spliced together. And it's obviously shocking is the dad. Shocker that every girl's issues usually stems from a daddy issue. Yeah.
Okay. Renee's
Renee's, holy shit. Like,
yeah. You go from Jen, who's like, I really like school. I mean, like, I didn't hug my dad that much as he wanted me to.
I was kind of overweight, and he kind of ridiculed
Renee
me.
Renee stands up and says, okay, first of all, she messed up her ankle because she swam in the pool too aggressively.
They showed her. She's like, I dived into the pool, you know.
And broke my ankle. And I was like, well, I can kind of understand that because I get hurt doing nothing these days.
I wouldn't have dove into the pool, though.
Right.
I would have lowered myself.
She hobbles up there and she's like, well, when I was younger, my first boyfriend stabbed me.
Age 13.
He stabbed me. And when I came home, I told my dad. It was just that nonchalant.
Yeah.
I came home.
My boyfriend stabbed me and my dad took care of it. What does that mean, Renee, when you say took care of it? Oh, well, you know, both of his arms were in casts.
His arms were kind of in a cast.
Kind of in a cast.
Oh. So this is again.
What did that entail? Can you describe what happened?
14-year-old boy who's now in traction?
Well, he did try to stab her. Or he did. Well, he stabbed his girlfriend.
I would love to hear more about that story. Like, why are you choosing a boyfriend who, on your first date, your first boyfriend stabs you?
I'm the most incredulous about having a boyfriend at age 13, to be honest. But
there's a lot of things about that.
Also, like, not to victim blame, but Renee seems like she might have been a bit of a handful at age 13. That's when the hormones are really setting in. I wonder if she tried to stab him around.
Okay, yeah. That sounds really shitty. Like, she brought it upon herself.
Of course not. But I just wanted to hear more information on this story because this seems like a really good story that I would love more details on.
A guy just picks up his 13-year-old girlfriend on his bicycle and just whips out a knife and is like,
"Hey, he might have been just some crazy 13-year-old." I mean, honestly,
right? Yeah.
But anyway,
Amber, tell us something traumatic from your childhood.
Amber doesn't talk yet here. She's about to open her mouth, but that now Tanya goes. This is just the order of
it. Amber's answer actually was, which part?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was like, oh, I better get my typing fingers ready. It's going to be good.
I know.
Cut to Tanya.
The hardest things to do is to share what you've been through. That's so painful and hurtful. My dad, you know, he was an alcoholic. He got very mean. We all had to line up the staircase, and we had to bend over, and we all got the freaking belt, whether it was a buckle or whatever, you know. When he was drunk, I guess we were in trouble, which is horrible.
Horrible. My dad had that exact same story. That's how my grandpa, who just passed, like, you would do that to them.
Jesus.
Because guess what? My grandpa was an alcoholic as well. Okay, so Matt, meanwhile, is just pretending to cry. Hey, guess what? He's got the Amber tears.
Yeah,
this whole
weird
episode. Weird.
He must be, like, trapped. He's got some sort of condition where no tears actually come
out. I think so.
Out.
I think it's a medical condition. Mm-hmm. So Matt's like, I'm not going to enjoy this. I don't want to be here. And I don't want to open up old wounds. So here's
that don't exist.
That don't exist. How fucked up is it that these people have to do this on national television? This sucks. Like, this, I would leave. I'd be like, I'm not sharing this. This is not real medical intervention in any way. This is a TV show that you're making entertainment out of.
Yeah, did they ever get any
you know, counseling about these specific most painful traumatic events.
No, we're going to have this happen on national TV, and then that fucking Judge Toler is going to come in and scream at everyone about it later. And good job, everyone.
Right.
Off to bed.
So Tanya says her mom was just, you know, yelling and screaming. Everything, yeah.
And Brandy has a huge soft spot for Tanya.
Yeah, I'm like, you do?
Because she put up with a lot in her life, and she's broken. Hey, okay. Amber, how's that going? How
was your childhood? One night, she just got really drunk. I don't know if her boyfriend, or like her and her boyfriend got into a fight, but she come into the house, and she was completely out of her fucking mind. What does that sound weird. Like? Who does that sound like? Does she have a hatchet?
Hatchet.
And she was hitting me and pushing me, and the cops came and took a picture of her hitting me. But then she did the same thing to my father. And
constant fighting and drinking problems, just like my dad.
Dude, and everyone else in the house are like, I'm seeing a new side of Amber. I feel so bad for her. And I'm like, this is how narcissists get us. Don't
Amber?
Everyone
is
needs to be
exactly
less empathetic.
Replaying.
Yes.
What she did to Gary. Yes. She's telling the story of her and Gary.
And Andrew. She chased him around with a hatchet.
Right. But she hasn't done that yet.
Right. She hasn't done that yet. Did you ever watch those Ring Cam videos, by the way?
No. I don't think I did.
It's like it's the 4th of July, right? And she was mad at Andrew because they were late to the fireworks. And then she grabbed, like she says at one point, I think, like, I need to go in and grab a couple coolers or whatever. So she went in to grab some coolers, you know, because she's not an addict anymore. And I think they were late, or there was like, you know, car issues. And then they
I remember
back
that there was traffic or something. Yeah.
And
she
and then they
pissed.
Had to come back, and she's like, "You fucking idiot!"
Weird.
Weird though. That's really weird. Yeah. Also, I don't really believe this story that Amber's telling because I think Amber's a fucking liar.
Did Amber start, like, self-medicating or taking anything
at
all?
Oh, my God. She's like, because of that, I started taking oxycodone, and I was numbing my pain with that. And everyone's like, oh, so brave. She's so brave. Yeah. Jesus.
Hey, Matt, come on up.
Jesus Christ. So Dr. B's like, so, okay, so, I can't.
Okay, hold on. I'm
going to
be Dr. Ish. Okay, I'm Dr. Ish.
Okay.
So, Matt, I actually love this, the guy who we think we see, my gut tells me that's not the guy you really are.
Now there's a shot of Jim smirking on the couch. I don't
laughing.
Know if you saw that.
Because,
like,
think about what Dr. Ish just said. The guy who we think we see, my gut tells me you're not really that horrible, disgusting, annoying guy that we think you are.
And Jim's
that's what
like,
he's saying.
Also, before that, Dr. B goes, so you grew up in a volatile household. And Matt's like, yup. Sure did, Doc.
And he says to Dr. Ish.
So he goes,
you really want to do this?
Oh, that pissed me off so bad. Yeah, Matt, we're really doing this.
My stomach hurts. I'm angry. Yeah, keep going. Good. Be Dr. Ish.
I think you really have to do this. If you want to move forward and take that pen and start writing the narrative of who you are and how you want your life to be, this is how you take the power away from that stuff that happened.
Yeah, don't worry, Dr. Ish. He already took a pen and wrote a really sweet fucking book.
Oh, good one. Now, I know it's going to probably take some time to peel back the layers of what Matt's issues are, so I want to make sure that I give you plenty of time to get to that.
Okay, so here. There's like a 1% chance this story is true, but I don't think there's... I
don't believe it, and
I don't believe this.
Not
at all.
One to doubt people on this
never,
at all.
Never, never, ever. I ever.
Okay, wait,
Janice
hold on. Let
Dickinson
me ask you this.
I also don't believe with the Bill Cosby.
Was this in his book? Was any of what he's going to talk about
no!
this episode in
none
the book?
Of this. None of this is in his book. Okay,
and his book has already come out.
His book came out in 2017, and you guys, I'm a fucking expert on this book because I am currently recapping it on this exact Patreon. What is this? Patreon.
Yeah.
I am like recapping every goddamn word of that goddamn thing, and I am in disbelief. That this is... Also, here's the other thing. There's so much to say here. He has to think of something traumatic to say here, right? Okay, so In his book, he has also talked about other traumatic things, and I'm putting that in quotes because I don't believe any word that comes out of this motherfucker's mouth. But he could have said any of the stuff that he actually writes about in the book, that there would be at least, you know, checks and balances. Like,
what,
oh,
like,
yeah,
my
that
big
was
sisters
book.
Were mean to me.
But
they really
were
weren't.
Really good sisters, and my mom was, you know, really neglectful, but, you know, she was the best mother in the world. He could have said any of that. Or yeah. just that his dad was an alcoholic and he passed away early. And his parents did get divorced when he was age 9. And his dad moved away. This is one passage I had where he was like, yeah, he said he'd see. Oh, my God. Oh, no. I need to fucking try to find this. But anyway, so all of this to say that in this episode, he reveals something that is absolutely an abomination. If he is lying, which I'm almost 100% sure he is, this is the most fucked up thing a person could lie about.
Yeah.
Also, I think that he was sitting on that couch this whole time thinking, what can I
what
say?
What am I going to say?
What can I say? And, like, he knows he's enough of a narcissist and a fucking psychopath, sociopath, that knows, okay, well, if I tell this story, everyone will feel sorry for me. And guess what? Every fucking person falls for it. Everyone falls for it.
I wouldn't have, and I'll send you some pictures when we get to this point when we start talking about it. I have photos of him smiling and laughing while he's covering his face like he's crying. And it's not just one. I took like three or four pictures to show. Okay.
I hate that.
So, Matt, you know, take that pen. This is how you're going to take the power away from that stuff about what happened.
All right. And now it goes to commercial. They have like, they fucking use this as a commercial break. So we go to commercial. We come back and Matt's like, well, I got raped when I was a child.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I was in second grade. And everyone's like, I immediately, like, again, because I'm recapping his book right now, I was like, no, you didn't. And I paused this and I went on my fucking Kindle and I reread all of his, like, early childhood chapters. It's not that hard to read. It's about, like, it requires about a first grade reading level to read his book. first. Also, that's not mentioned anywhere in this
book. The story just doesn't sound believable, too. The things that have a lot of detail and the things that are very glazed over, it just doesn't track.
Also, I think that if this had happened, he absolutely would have put this in his book because
Talking about it all over Teen Mom.
Yeah, he would have been accidentally saying it
out loud.
But the fact that I think that he was sitting there thinking about what is the worst thing I can say so that I'll be the star of these stories.
Of course he does. Later, I know I'm kind of jumping ahead, later when they have the whole group back together and they have the kids reenacting them.
Oh my God.
He gets out of having to answer or to get counseling from the experts on it because he throws this fake crying tantrum with no tears.
He doesn't have
to say anything. So he doesn't have to answer or go into any detail. He totally avoids it.
If he was really raped, I mean, like, obviously that does suck. But I don't believe anything that this fucking man says. And I think that he is just the fucking worst piece of shit that's ever walked the earth. That you would lie about this.
Okay, so let's hear it. Let's hear what happened.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you those pictures while you're doing this.
All right. He doesn't talk about the rape. He just says afterward.
I got raped when I was a child. I was in second grade, and it was an authority figure.
I even like went back in the Kindle, as I said, and I read stuff, and there was a little chapter about like his older cousin, and I was like, maybe this is who he's talking about. But then all of that entire thing led into him being butthurt because his cousin uninvited him to like a family barbecue.
Jesus.
Snoozers. I mean, again, he would have put this in his book if it was true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they ask, like, okay, so give us some details on this rape. Mm-hmm. And Matt says, I went upstairs and I was set in my closet and my dad,
I don't know.
Okay, so I guess this was afterwards, the authority figure. Went upstairs, I was set in my closet and my dad got home and I heard him and I ran downstairs and I told him, but I didn't know how to explain what happened. Also, I feel like that wouldn't happen either because most kids don't run right to their parents and tell. This is usually something that you're keeping. Again, it's different for everyone. But I just, the fact that I know this is a lie is so infuriating. So then Dr. Ish goes, what did you need in that moment? And Matt said, I wanted my dad to beat him up. Weird. Who does that sound like a story that we just heard? Oh, Renee's, the story you're trying to beat.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he didn't believe me. Honestly, I wanted my dad to beat him up and he didn't. Honestly, I think he was drunk, why are you saying you think he was drunk? Because your whole first three chapters of your book is about how your dad was drunk all the time. So why are you saying that I think he was drunk?
Just before they were saying about Tanya's drinking problem and her dad being an alcoholic.
And he goes, and we never talked about it again after that night. And then he says later, like, he never told his mom.
That's very bizarre to me.
And
just
Jim
all of that.
Jim is mad. He's like, you know, when he said his father didn't do anything, that just had me enraged because I'm a father. And I'm like, no, people, stop falling into this. And Matt says, like, interesting. What does he say here? Interestingly,
He left when I was 9. And interestingly enough, found out my dad had 2 other kids I never knew
about. Hey, guess
what?
That's not in his book either. Why would you not put that
really?
In your book? No. Why would
Yet
you not
Matt,
put that in your book of explaining that you're not a bad person for having all these secret kids?
Yeah, Matt was the one who not only had 2 other kids that is some, however, 6 kids don't know about. There's other ones all over the place.
Yes.
And now I look back now and I wish I would have told my mom.
Well, my mom wasn't very good, but she was the best mother in the world. But we weren't very close, but I couldn't
talk
to her.
So at no point from second grade to now, never ever brought up. And this is an authority figure.
Right, but,
and
oh, weird.
Very vague.
Television
like,
cameras
teacher,
are there
a
now.
A priest, a what, you know, like, who's this person? Is it a family member?
Yeah, just the fact that he's doing this on camera on national television, he's just such a stupid fucking piece of shit. I hate him. I fucking hate him.
And then here we have Tanya, who's falling for it, of course.
Yeah. Well, she's drunk.
It took a lot.
She's like burps.
It took a lot for him to relive that pain he's been holding. It takes a lot of courage to do that.
No, it doesn't. This is not courage.
Hey, yes. Listen. Since Matt arrived, he's been accused of being a real bullshit artist. So we may be seeing the real Matt for the first time.
This is what Matt, he's spinning this web. This is all working on these doctors.
I know.
Speaking of bullshit artists, Amber is still waxing poetic in the other room there.
Yep.
Back when I was an addict, you're still an addict. You're never not an addict. Her favorite line, everyone say it together. Favorite. Yeah. I opted out of drug court and put myself the fucking prison. I sacrificed
for my daughter. Yeah. That's what you did, Amber.
I sacrificed for my daughter. And I learned a lot through prison.
You know, Leah should really be so grateful and appreciative to Amber for what Amber has done for her. It was all for Leah.
Do you know that, there's, a bombshell that just came out, by the way, today? Or not a bombshell, but, people are starting to really turn on Chelsea and Cole, and I'm loving every fucking minute of it.
Oh, I was just listening to... Because she opened some store or a shop or an Instagram.
No. It's because, I don't know. We'll talk about it. I haven't watched the episode from Tuesday, obviously, because, I actually watched, three movies over the past 5 days, and I don't remember a second of it because, when you're, I was just looking at it. Anyway, we'll talk about Chelsea and Cola when we do our lineup. But so now Amber's on the couch, and she goes, just because somebody goes to prison just because somebody goes to prison for battery years ago, it doesn't mean that that's the way they're going to be for the rest of their lives. Yeah, you're right. But you are, though. You in particular are.
Yeah. Dr. Ish is now talking to Matt. So get in your Matt zone here.
Okay.
They taught you that when you tell the truth, Matt, sometimes people don't care. There's a reason why you are the Matt you are, meaning bullshit, no one likes you. And what I'm telling you, that reason is not your fault.
Does he say something here, or is it just him saying, Matt learned that I can't speak the truth? Is this that
No,
part?
He goes, I feel more free now.
I learned that I can't speak the truth about something traumatic and... Oh, yeah, that's what this is. Yeah. I learned I can speak the truth about something traumatic and live through it. I feel a little bit more free now. I can't.
Because they all believed your lie. That's why you feel
and
free.
And he's doing that, catchy... oh, my God. He practices in front of the mirror. It just... The amount of narcissism, and honestly, my ex-boyfriend could do this too. My ex-boyfriend would have done the same fucking thing.
He's doing a lot of looking down, just his hand on his forehead looking down, and then later he walks off into the garden on his own. So everyone's where's Matt?
Leave him alone.
Oh, Matt, yeah.
And he has glasses as a prop.
Oh my God.
He can take off his glasses and rub his eyes, which
can we talk about his glasses? How they are a bright royal blue. They look like children's glasses.
They're purple. they're in different lights.
From the children's section at the eye doctor. We're there you go, buddy. Go pick out.
They're probably not real glasses. It's fucking Matt.
That's so true.
I fucking hate him so much. So, now Guy goes, and he got picked up and thrown against a wall.
Yeah.
Brandy got... This is the funniest part, though, too.
I hate her so much.
Because everyone, for every other story, everyone's oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, alcoholism. Ray getting stabbed. Her dad's beating up children. Yeah, Matt has been raped. And Brandy, what's your most traumatic event in your life?
Oh, I was in my room. I don't really remember what happened, but I think I was mouthing off to my dad and he slapped me.
She said, I don't remember what we were arguing about, but I just looked at him and I said, fuck you. And then he slapped me across the face.
Yeah, I got slapped in the face when I called my dad an asshole as well in the car. I remember
I got slapped across the face in the back aisle of a Venture twice. Once because I
These
wanted...
These are always my favorite stories, by the way, is hearing...
Once because I wanted a Cabbage Patch doll, one of the preemies,
so
and
what
I didn't
did you,
get it.
So what did you do? What were you doing? Just being annoyed.
I think I was like, oh, can I... I don't remember, but I do remember my mom would always put her hand up like she was going to backhand us.
Right.
And then next thing I knew, like, I think she just, like, pulled me to, like, the end of the aisle where no one could see. And she just, like, smacked me on the face. That happened twice. The second time was also
I was
adventure.
Twice as well.
And it was because I wanted the New Kids on the Block comforter set. And I pushed it. I pushed it too far. And it was my fault. I deserved it. I was asking for it.
By the way, when I said just a second ago, these are my favorite stories, I don't actually want to hear stories about children getting slapped. But, like, I like stories about, like, when, like, you got slapped for a reason a couple times and, like, what you did to deserve. Like, me and Nick both got slapped at Disney World for acting like assholes.
You know how many kids have probably gotten the worst spanking or parents that are against you? Like, I'm not a spanker. We don't hit whatever.
Disney World's
gonna
push you to the limit.
But if it was going
to
be anywhere, it's going to be at fucking Disney World. Because do you know how much money
on a vacation
we just spent to make you fucking happy?
Yeah.
And you, like, you are going to be so fucking goddamn happy when we leave this place.
No, I remember. I don't remember. I do remember when my dad backhanded me because I called him an asshole in the car. And then he felt really bad and he, like, took me out for ice cream. And even in the moment, I was like, oh, I kind of deserved it though.
I
was like,
weird.
Why are you?
This is
really fucked up. I'm like, you should have slapped me. But I remember I was 11 and we went to Disney World and we didn't have that much money. And, like, I was acting like such a spoiled, rotten cunt. I remember actively crossing my arms the whole time and just, like, being pissy. Like, pissy. Because I didn't want to go to, like, NASA.
I wouldn't have smacked you. I would have just, like, walked away and been like, okay, well, we're going. That's the best thing you could do for a kid because they're not going to stand there and get lost and taken in by a new family. They're going to come running up behind you.
Right.
Whistling Dixie because they're not going to want to be left behind.
But the Disney World one, I don't even remember. My dad just apologizes for it to this day. He says he feels
you
guilty about
it. You don't remember
it
at all.
I don't even remember it because I know, because I'm sure that I was like, well, I had that coming. I remember making an effort to make my parents' time as bad as possible.
Or there's some other blonde girl that is traumatized this day because some guy walked up to her and smacked the shit out of her.
Because I really don't remember it. Because the first one happened before that Disney World slap.
Girl was crying over a Mickey Mouse ice cream or whatever. It was like,
and my
some
dad
guy
was
walked
like,
up
enough!
To me and smacked me across the face. Wasn't even my dad.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, look, I know we're living in an age now where you're not allowed to even, like, touch your kids.
Okay, can I tell you? Okay, very quick.
No, keep them coming.
Okay, very quick story. This wasn't me. My entire family still remembers this, and it's, like, one of those things we talk about every single time we get together.
Yeah.
We were in Williamsburg, Virginia, and...
Fun.
And there was a girl. There was, like, one of those little, you know, you get your lemonade and your cookie in the little shop or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then
it
emptied out into, like, this little alleyway or whatever. And all of us were coming down the stairs. And there was this girl with her dad. And she was probably, like, 12, 13. And that
Which is the
awkward...
best age to get slapped because you're just such an asshole at that age.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
Oh,
she was standing there eating a giant sugar cookie. It was, like, in, like, that little wax paper square.
Yeah, okay.
She was eating it, and she was holding a lemonade. And all of a sudden, the dad goes, "Don't move. There's a bee on you." And the girl was like, "Huh." Again, there's six of us in my family. Somehow, all six of us were watching this. And
right.
The dad went and smacked the girl, and the bee was on her boob. And the girl just, like, dropped her cookie in her lemonade.
That's traumatic. I would remember that.
And she was like, "Ah!" And the dad was like, "There's a bee on you, don't move." And then he was pissed that she dropped her drink and her cookie. It was, like, a whole thing. And all of us were laughing. I was probably, like, 9 at the time. And I don't know, whatever. But we looked over, and still, it was, like, for the next 2 hours, we just saw this lemonade and cookie laying on the street. We'd lose our goddamn
That's
shit every
so
time.
That's so sad. That's
but we're like,
so
there's
sad.
Some girl that probably to this day is traumatized because her dad smacked her boob in the middle of, like, a crowd
and then
of
got
300
mad at her.
People. Yeah, yelled at her. Like, "Why'd you drop your thing?"
Well, right, anyway, Brandy went through that because she told her
said,
dad
fuck
to fuck
you,
off.
To your dad. Although Chrissy and Mama, I think, are, like, probably all of us, where they were like, good. She would have gotten a lot more than
That's
a slap.
That's the funniest
that
thing
kid.
Is everyone's like, well, yeah,
she
she's
should have
terrible.
Been slapped.
Yeah.
Again,
like,
I don't hit my kids.
Right.
But if I'm going to, it's going to be at Disney World, or it's going to be because they said, fuck you, in my house that I pay for.
Isn't it crazy that just the generation before us, teachers were allowed to, like, hit kids?
That's crazy.
Like, that's just so crazy to me.
It is. I don't believe in hitting, spanking, whatever, but if I were in some rare thing, it would definitely be Brandy Glanville telling me, fuck you.
Well, I think it should, again, I'm not a parent, so I don't have any kind of opinion. I'm not allowed to have an opinion on this, but I think that it should be if, like, your kid hides in a store or something to be funny, and, like, you have to really be, like, you are not allowed to fucking do this. Yeah, like, yeah, it needs to be an extreme situation. Or at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Or on an expensive family.
You know, Chrissy, though, has a pretty similar experience to Brandy's growing up, you know, around the same age. Chrissy, it was her 6th or 7th birthday, and her dad was a drug addict. And so she ran to the door, and she's like, Daddy, it's my birthday. You're going to say happy birthday? And he was holed up in his room doing drugs, so he slid $100 bills under the door and just said, go with your mom and have a good time. Go do something.
She said that, like, she lived in a drug den, basically. Yeah.
And here's Brandy, like, and people were like, besides Chrissy and Mama, were like, whoa, your dad slapped you across the face? Wow. Brandy, that's deep. That's pretty painful.
Yeah, but Chrissy and Mama were like, she's a terror as an adult. I can't imagine her at age 12. Jim's
mom.
Jim? Oof. Well, his mom, so Mama was a crackhead, he tells us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he really breaks down here. I think he's starting to come down off of the marijuana, but he is, like, really crying. And I was like, okay, so he's, like, actually present in this exercise.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. He said, okay, the Mama is telling her story. And she didn't talk about the drugs. It's clearly not something she wants to discuss. But she says that when her own mother died, her mom was like, you need to get your shit together. And that's when she did. And then she started being a really good mom. And then Chrissy and Mama hug. You can just tell they're fine. Like, they are going to be fine after this.
Yeah, they probably have highs and lows where they hate each other. Then they get along. But Mama says she's really sorry. And Chrissy made a good point. She's like, you know, we both had crazy childhoods with addictive parents, and
everyone did.
And we decided when we got together, like, we're gonna love each other past all this other bullshit and disappointment.
Yep.
And yeah, it's gonna be part of us, but we can kind of get it through together. And then after everyone pours their hearts out, Dr. Ish walks away saying, we've all got that story that helped shape who we are today. Excellent job.
Everyone's like, so now what?
So now that wound has just been opened and we're all bawling our eyes out, holding on to each other. Good job. We all got those stories. So,
well, Matt can't even handle it. He has to leave. Hold on. Oh, okay.
Hey, Matt, you okay?
I need to be by myself, I think, for a while.
So he gets up and storms out. I'm pretty sure he's just going out to, like, use more drugs.
Or pee in the bushes or something, pick his nose. And Brandy just doesn't understand how Matt's family overlooked his rape. I just don't understand it. Like, because it didn't happen.
But clearly he told this story to Amber before. Because Amber is later like, did he talk about what happened to him? So he definitely popped up this little story during a huge fight one time where he, like, probably cheated on her. And he was like, well, it's because I was raped, you know.
Uh-huh.
I can't be close with my kids because I had
a hard childhood.
Exactly. Do you think people are going to get mad at us, though, for, like, insinuating lying? I hope you guys don't.
Please watch, you guys. You have to watch the episode. And I'm going to post these pictures. I sent them to you. I don't know if you saw them on your phone.
He is smiling and laughing.
And it's not like it could be mistaken. I took a series of four different photos. He's laughing and smiling.
Dude.
He is not crying. It's because he knows he's acting and he's...
And he's getting away with
such
this.
A show of it. Okay, let's fast forward a little bit. They're all sitting around the table eating. Jen says that she's in the middle between Lana and Renee. And so the doctors call Jen into the office and they're going to have Jen go away for the day. So Lana and Renee can get to the issues.
How about this disgusting moment where Amber, like, crawls into Matt's lap and she's like, Oh, God.
Okay, we're getting there.
I just want to leave this house. It's really hard for Matt.
She's talking to Amber.
What does Amber say?
Did he say what happened?
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then Tanya answers to that question.
I broke down.
Okay. Did you?
Don't know.
So then Amber goes in and Matt's just like sitting like on the chair. Hi. I'm pretty sure he's high. And he's just like pretending to be like really sick.
He's got he has his hand, both hands covering his eyes because he's
crying.
Amber's
like, hey, look at me.
And she goes,
look at
me. I'm proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. And they're like really looking intensely at each other. And I was like, whoa.
She goes, you hear me? You're a strong man.
I was like, hated watching that. I hated it.
But she loves it. She, because it makes her feel good. Because it's like, Amber's the caretaker now. You know, she's the strong, she's the rock.
That scene might have been worse than watching my cat die.
Ew, God, right?
So, anyway, Jen gets a day to herself. If I was Jen, like, how happy would you be if you were Jen? Because they're clearly going to send her off to, like, a hotel or something.
Amazing.
Just, like, sit there, have room service. Because they've clearly decided that she's doesn't have any issues, really.
Yeah, she's good.
So like, you're all right. So now they call everyone back, and everyone's like, where's Jen? And Renee's like, where's my sister? Where's my sister? Like, calm down. She's accounted
for. She's the one losing her mind. Where's my sister? And everyone else is like, what's this? What's going on? And Matt's like, I'm exhausted. He's sulking, covering his face because he has no tears.
Right.
And then they announce they have a special guest. And everyone's like, oh, my God, is it Santa? Oh, my God, Santa's coming.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah, no, Santa's going to come in and give you all gifts. End of episode. That's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's not Santa.
It's, I have a clip of all of these.
Oh, good.
Not all of them, but a lot of, because you're not, you guys aren't going to believe this shit. Okay,
Girl walks out and walks straight up to the doctors. Do you have this clip or do you want me to say this one? Because I got
it. No, I got it. This is at 23-ish minutes. Oof. And here we are.
Yikes.
My dad.
It was Amber.
Oh, wait, hang on.
Okay. Amber.
All the yelling and fighting.
Is it Santa?
So how are you? It was hard to get to sleep last night with all the yelling and fighting.
This is the exercise in marriage boot camp that broke me into pieces.
My dad is everything to me. The police came one day and just took him away.
How did your mom handle that?
I can only imagine what's going to happen now.
Sometimes we can't fall asleep because all the noise. So my brother and I just choke each other until we pass out.
Did Amber say that?
It was Amber.
I knew that was Amber.
It was.
I knew that was Amber.
Okay, so let's just take a moment here.
What's about to happen here?
Okay, first of all, I just love that Dr. B's like, hey, how are you today? It was hard to get to sleep at night. I mean, she really just like went right into the dialogue.
The cringiness of all of this, like, just first of all, knowing that they had a casting session for this.
Children had to recite these lines.
That, yeah, and then that, the fact that they have to say, I had to choke, me and my brother used to choke each other out.
What kind of game is that? Okay, I have a brother and two sisters. And that's not like a we had a hard time falling asleep at night, so we would just choke each other until we passed out. What the hell? Well,
there's like that thing.
I don't want to laugh,
there's a
but
thing
like
called like angel fainting where you can make yourself pass out.
Okay, I don't want to do that.
I don't either, but I've just heard that's a thing. I don't know. Jesus Christ. But so there's that. The kids and just the cringe factor of how committed some of these kids are.
They're not breaking the lines that they learned.
Oh, no. Don't go off script.
Again, where she's like, hey, welcome. Who are you? It was hard to get to sleep at night.
The Matt kid has run a DJ voice.
I'm so glad you got it.
Like, okay.
Hey, my dad would come to my baseball game sometimes.
And Matt goes, oh, God, they read my book. They read my book. And I'm like, that wasn't in your fucking book, dude.
Oh my God, I love
it. And also,
so
you know that he was like, yes, they read my book. Okay, hang on. Let's not.
Yeah, let's get through Amber here. Did Amber realize it was her?
Yeah, she goes, it was obvious. Okay, also, at the end of each of these kids' statements, like, everyone's figured out who these kids are.
By the
like,
first sentence, right?
Right, and then it's like, what's your name, dear? My name is dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun, Amber. Oh! With each kid, yeah. They do that. And also, like, the last three kids, I mean, I hate to say this, but the last three kids are, first of all, the last three people in the room, and they're all black kids, the only black people.
Gee, I wonder who they could be, you guys.
My name is Chrissy. It's like, yeah, obviously.
There's one black boy. It must be Matt, right?
When the
we got
black
Matt
kid,
coming in again.
When the black kid walks in, Mama's Jesus. Like, ooh, look at you, you messy, you bad.
No, she's like, oh, look at you, big and bad. Actually, the three of them kind of loved it at
just
the end.
He's just kind of wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
He's just wearing a hoodie. Yeah. It's so funny.
Oh my God.
All right, so are we done with Amber? I mean, I guess that's all.
Yeah, so Amber was like, yeah, it was obvious. She was saying the exact same things that I've said all the time.
Why didn't they ever put in that she said that?
Okay, hold on. No, it was in there. Okay, so then the little girl says, my mom hits my dad sometimes. And Tanya gets pissed. She goes, heck, why bring that shit up? It takes a lot to piss me off. And then Matt goes, oh.
I knew that was Amber.
It was obvious. She was saying the exact same things that I said.
My mom hits my dad sometimes.
What the shit up?
What pissed me off? This is why I don't say anything to her.
She's been seeing someone since before she met my dad. So she'll probably stay with him a lot.
Christmas is about tradition. But today, we are breaking both tradition.
This has nothing to do with Christmas.
It's nothing whatsoever.
Christmas
hanging on
about
to this
tradition.
Christmas tree thing.
They're like, what props do we have in the prop shed? Like, can we throw a Christmas tree up or something? Okay.
Do we have more of Amber's clip, or do you want me to just read it?
I mean, I just have the episode.
Okay, that's received on Christmas, we're giving our boot campers the gift of understanding
so
how their past affects their present and their future.
This is one of our most powerful drills at boot camp because we do our research, and everything coming out of these kids' mouths was revealed by a boot camper at some point in their life. These are things that have helped shape them into who they are today.
I'll be able to do whatever I want.
Oh, here we go.
Drink and get drunk and do drugs. Also, I'm gonna have a family of my own.
Aren't you a little young?
I need someone in my life to love and someone to love me.
So I've been dealing with this stuff for years, but it's hard seeing a young kid saying something like that.
You
know what else might be hard? You know, hearing your own daughter saying things like, my mom is never around, my mom's in prison.
Or having her
my
watch
mom beat
you
up
on
my
TV.
Dad. Yeah. Yeah.
While I was being held by him.
Right, right.
I can't believe that they're like, Christmas is about tradition and this is like Scrooge.
And then you have a little girl going, I like to drink and get drunk, do drugs. I'm going to have my own family someday. I need someone to love me in my life.
This little girl, like, she looks like she probably is of age, like maybe 20, like in her 20s, but 18, let's say. But is
that
doing
girl?
Yeah, she looks like she could be just like
an older.
She is
15 if she's a day.
Okay, but she's really playing up the kid voice here.
Sure.
So I'm like, clearly all the kids are going to be maybe 18 and just looking older. But no, then they just get younger.
They get younger and younger each one. Okay. Oh, we have another special guest coming through.
Yes, come out, please.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
I haven't been beaten.
What do you mean?
My dad, he comes home drunk a lot, and when he does, he lines us up with a belt and he whips us. He always spends all of our money on booze. I don't want someone drunk and violent around my future kids. What would I be teaching my kids if I hit their father?
It's really hard to watch them.
Watch the little talking. It tore me up. Do you realize what she said there? She says, it's really hard to watch the little talking. It tore me up inside.
Okay.
To watch the little talking. She's missing some word there.
The little girl
or it was really hard to watch the little skit with them talking, whatever.
The hilarious, not, okay, again, we're not laughing at
that they were beaten, but yeah. Hey, how are you
this
today?
This is a well, I didn't get beaten. This is a crazy exercise. And also, the kids would have learned this dialogue an hour ago because they all said these things a couple hours ago. So these kids have just been sitting in a room running their lines.
Wouldn't you have been sitting in there like just busting out laughing every time one of them would have come in with
of
that?
Of course. I think Jim is. I think they just aren't showing. They're probably
even
not showing
me,
them laughing.
Even if it was some little chubby little Jody coming in and be like, how are you? Being like, well, I'm really hungry, but I don't want to eat anything. I'd be like,
my dad called me fat. I'd be like, this is outrageous.
Okay. How are you today? Well, I haven't been beaten. Jesus. Or tell Dr. B and Dr. Ish, like, just to ask a question that is going to be answered in that way. I don't know. It's just the setup is so wrong.
Well, here's the worst one. And okay, so next we have spoiler Matt. And I was like, and this kid is like 8.
Yeah, he's
10
little.
At the most.
He's little, and I think he has an expander, like one of those orthodontal expanders on the of his mouth.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And Matt's like, this is fucked up. I'm like, yeah, it's fucked up to make a kid have to recite these lies.
This is fucked up. They're not going to be easy.
This is not going to be easy in any way, shape, or form, and it's going to be pretty intense.
How old are you, young man?
I'm 9.
And what do you like to do?
I love playing baseball.
Your parents must be proud of you.
I don't know. They just got divorced, so my dad isn't around that much. I had a baseball tryout yesterday. My dad was there, but he wasn't actually watching. I found him in the parking lot with a woman in a red dress.
Oh my God, they read my book.
Okay, so that wasn't in his book. That wasn't in his book. Here is what my only, unless, but you guys, when I say that I'm recapping Matt's book, I'm like, if I'm not legit reading out the dialogue, I'm then reading the next paragraph and telling you exactly what happened. I would have fucking remembered that. He does, here's another interesting fun fact about Matt, but he has a prior book that he wrote before this called, wait for it, Men Don't Rat Out Other Men. That's what the title is.
Shut up.
Or like, men don't... Yeah, it's like, that's the connotation of the title of this book. But here's the other interesting part. He wrote that under a pseudonym. You know who else writes under a pseudonym? Stephen King. So when you're as good of a writer as Stephen King or Matt, sometimes you need to put a pseudonym in there. Isn't that baffling?
A pseudonym.
Yeah, he wrote it under a pseudonym.
Oh, Jesus.
But now, nowadays, it's available on the internet under Matt Bayer, now that he's nice and famous. Right. Guys, anyone who listens to my recaps, the last, like, 30 pages of the book that I'm recapping is, like, the first 3 or 4 chapters of that book.
Oh, Jesus.
So maybe it's that book. Or maybe... he's going to reveal all of this rapey stuff and the baseball game and the lady in the red dress at a later time during the book, but I don't think it's going to happen because here's the next chapters, the last few chapters that are left that I have to recap. Chapter 5 is called Enta Amber. Oh, chapter Jesus. 6 is called Teen Mom Tales.
Oh, God.
Chapter 7 is called Tabloid Hell. I read through that one. He just copies and pastes a bunch of tabloids and then is like, not likely. This is what's wrong with this one.
Does he ever put just like, doi?
Chapter 8 is called Let's Get Real About Gary, and it's 2 pages long. 1.5 pages. Chapter 9 is Odds and Ends. Chapter 10 is called You Ink, You Know.
You ink? Like I-N-K.
Yeah, like you think you know, but you ink,
Jesus
you know.
Christ.
And guess what that one's about?
Getting a tattoo with Amber's name on it.
It's him naming every tattoo he has.
Ew, I don't want to know. I don't want to know about his skin. Gross.
It's such a stupid... Here it is. Okay, here's his about the author. Boston native Matt Bayer was a high school All-American in track and field and attended college in Minnesota. After leaving college, aka there's no way he fucking graduated, Matt was a morning radio jock for 15 years, a job that fueled his passion for collecting music memorabilia. He's not on air filming the hit reality series Teen Mom, Matt and partner Amber Portwood stay out of the limelight. Right. Rescuing animals and running three businesses. Together they care for 7 dogs and 3 cats. All rescues save one.
And no children.
And no children. No children. God! In addition to this book, Matt is the author of Guys Don't Rat on Guys. He lives in Indiana.
He lives in Indiana. Guys Don't Rat on Guys. Because, you know, he's a guy's guy.
And, you know, I'm sure that book is just about how people keep telling all of his girlfriends that he's cheating on them.
You know, bros. You know us, bros.
Yeah, don't tell other people when guys are doing shitty things and acting like pieces of shit. It's the guy code, you know?
Ugh.
Okay, so that's
all right, so his dad was in the parking lot with a woman in a red dress. That sounds like a lie. That just sounds like a weird made-up story, like Carmen Sandiego or something.
Also, it's not in his book, but maybe it's in the book Guys Don't Rat on Guys, but that's not an autobiography. That's a, fiction book.
Oh, Jesus.
I think. Okay. Oh, my God. He's such a dumb idiot.
He said, who cares? It's okay. He was just drunk. Like the time that man hurt me.
A man hurt you?
Yeah, he did stuff to me, you know, sexually.
Can you believe they made that kid say that?
First of all, he can't say his S's, so he was like, he gets stuck to me. Sexually. He said, who cares, you little shit?
Unbelievable.
This kid's having to stand in front of a room of grown adults.
He's doing a pretty good job,
One of them supposedly the victim of sexual assault, and he's having to say this. I would not let my kid take that job.
I'm sorry. What did your dad do?
Nothing.
The kid has a hearing aid in.
I told him.
Oh, he probably has an earpiece in.
Did he think you were lying?
They're probably feeding him.
What does telling the truth matter if no one is listening?
Me being a mother, I always. Oh, hey.
Sorry. I'm stepping on you.
Stealing my lines here. Jesus.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. I just want to point out the fact that Amber is shushing Matt. Like, shh, I'm missing the movie.
She has her hand on his chest and is like just patting him on his.
Shh.
This is good stuff.
So Tanya's nodding. Tanya's crying. It's really hitting her.
Me being a mother, you know, I always tried to protect my kids when they were younger. And to hear his parents not being there for him, it was very hurtful.
Thanks, Amber.
Tanya.
I was always there to protect my kids.
Yeah. Oh,
Amber would beg to differ.
Now,
who are those actors? Again, they're like, please say your names. Who are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm Amber.
Let me see. I'm sure it's coming up.
Harris would not be there for him. It was very hurtful.
You sound exactly like her.
Amber. I'm Tanya.
And your name, young man?
I'm Matt.
Oh, well, of course it's Matt.
And your name, young man?
This, the one white kid standing here. Who are you? White boy standing here.
Jesus.
I guess it could be Guy. We threw Guy into the scene with Amber and Thomas. So
how does Matt feel about this?
He's fucked up! He says, I don't...
Broke my heart!
Broke my heart! They, they say, what would you do if you could talk to yourself? And he goes, I'd say, don't lie about it. He says this to the child. Oh, cringy. Oh,
yeah.
Cringe.
They make
McGee.
The little boy go walk up to Matt as if he really has been sexually assaulted.
Right.
And Matt has to talk this kid through his alleged pretend sexual assault. So Matt tells him no tears. He's wiping his eyes. No tears. He tells him.
Don't lie about it. And then everyone is comforting him, including Dr. V. And I'm like, I hate watching people
and
comfort
this
him.
This is where he throws his hands up, he sits down, and that's where I sent the pictures of you. That's from that scene right there. And he goes, fuck! And then he's smiling and clearly laughing. He goes, why the fuck do you do this? And
takes off his glasses.
Takes
no
his glasses
tears.
Throws them.
There are
throws
no tears,
glasses.
You guys.
None. Smiling.
And then
Amber
Dr. V
is still shushing him. Amber's like, shh.
I think there was
you're
more
crying.
That kid was going to say.
You are crying.
Dr. V is like, Matt, this is good. You're a strong man, Matt. I think we just need to move on and let's accept the fact that you can move on from this. And he throws his head up and goes, okay.
Yeah, those, again, that's, when you guys see the pictures, okay. You'll see we're, like, not making this up at all. He's like,
yep,
you're right. You're right. And Tanya, by the way, is, like, doing this bear hug over two of them at some point because like, she doesn't know what she's supposed to be doing.
I don't know what to do. So,
hatchet, my scoliosis. I'm just leaning over my scoliosis.
Yeah, I can't.
She's just stretching, but it looks like she's hugging him.
Next, we have, like, the sisters' actresses come in.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be Renee and Lana. And I think these two actresses are about as old as the other kids, but they're wearing the worst shake and go wigs you've ever seen. These are like taken out of the package and not even kind of combed through or hairsprayed. It's just like these old lady wigs.
Yeah.
So the one girl comes out and, well, I guess we might as well play it. Can you describe what the situation is here?
Yeah. So the weird older woman, she's walking in. The doctors are like, hey, welcome to marriage boot camp. Why don't you come on over? Tell us who you are. And right. I think she just starts screaming. She's like, fuck you. You sound like my sisters.
There we go. This wig is outrageous.
Oh, horrible.
You sound like my sisters. Oh, my God. No one knows what I've been through. I'm loud like my dad, and they've loved my dad.
She's playing me.
First of all, let's get something straight. I'm not that cocky. Like, I don't act like that.
And how are things with your sisters?
Who knows? I haven't seen Lana in years.
I think this actress is drunk.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sounds lonely.
Let's bring on our next special guest.
Oh, this is great. This woman gets wheeled out in a wheelchair.
With like a gas tank. With an oxygen tank. Worst wig.
Yeah.
So how's your day so far?
I'm just tired.
Yeah. Tell me about your family.
My sister and I haven't talked in years.
What happened?
Uh-oh. Out comes a funeral wreath with a sash on it and a picture that says Jed.
Hey, let's hear Renee's reaction to this. They're revealing the picture of Jen.
What?
Oh, God.
Get the f*** out of here.
Coming up on
It's like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not going to sit down. Happy. I'm not going to pretend my sister's dead. I'm not playing this.
Which I kind of thought was sweet. I was like, okay, and then they're like, Renee, I think the doctors are both like, oh, fuck, this went like off the rails. So they're like, Renee, we're not saying that this is you two. Oh, you're not? Because isn't that where this exercise is?
We're not saying this is you. Why would you think this is you? We never said that.
What we're saying.
Like an Amber. We never said it was you.
They're like, shit, we need to intervene in this because she's about to really fucking lose it. So they're like, we're just saying.
Yeah.
Without Jen, she's the glue that holds you together. And Renee's like, we're never gonna be like that. We're never gonna get there. So then they hug and they're like, we need to see if you guys can get along without Jen. Of course that you can. There's no instance that I can think of where they would end up like that. These sisters are
toxic. And then Renee's like, okay, we're good. We're good. Yeah. We're good now. I'm like, okay, you guys can leave. Cool.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they need therapy, but not this way.
True. We have another guest coming in.
First there's the interstitial, right?
Oh, there's an interstitial. It's stupid. It's Guy and Matt are playing pool, and Guy's like, gotta tell you, Matt's a great dude. He's like, man, I tell you, you are just such a stand-up guy. You are such a good guy.
Yeah, Matt's like, really? Like, oh,
then Matt's like,
thanks.
I tell you what, I'd give Guy a kidney if he needed one.
Oh my God, I can't believe that.
Sure,
I'm like,
would,
no
Matt.
One wants your kidneys, Matt.
Yeah, no I one promise. Wants it. Mm, right.
No one wants your kidneys. So yeah, Renee's freaking out, blah, 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 over. They're fine. This
little Brandy, I think she was crying. I think the little actress was crying.
Oh,
because
like,
of you.
On purpose or like,
no,
she was
I think she was really nervous.
This.
Yeah, I think they stopped and then
so
restarted. Because I kind of noticed a little shakiness, and then they did like a weird split edit kind of thing there.
All right, here we go.
Circumstances. Can our next special guest come out?
This is another good one.
I am wondering what little Brandy's going to say. And
she's like dressed like Brandy.
Like,
she's wearing the same color.
What are your parents like?
I have two dads. One of my dads. My mom likes to call him a free spirit. He loves growing these funny plants and walks around the house naked sometimes.
And you said you had two dads.
The crazy one. He gets angry and mean.
Do you want to get married someday?
Totally.
Totally.
But I'm not very pretty. One day when I grow up, I'll get surgery to fix that. I know big girls have things the guys like. Show my boobs. That'll get guys to pay attention to me.
Right there, I think she was crying.
No, she was acting bad, I think.
Oh, I think she was kind of getting choked up, like she was starting to get nervous and shy. Which she should, because she's standing up there saying, I want to have a boob job. I want to show guys my boobs.
That'll get guys to like me, right?
Yeah, this girl is probably, she looks like Paige's age. She's probably 11 or 12. Yes, and they're having her say this.
My dad, is Scout going in and out?
Yeah, she's going out. She is Paige.
My dad walks around naked. It's just so, like,
he grows these funny-looking plants.
Any more to say about that?
No. They're guys, like, good, we got Brandy. All right. Yeah.
What does guys say?
A little boy comes out, and they're like, hey there, young boy, what are your parents like? And the kid's like, my dad is strict. Sometimes he's nice, but sometimes there's another side of him. It's pretty scary. When he's gone, I'm going to do all the crazy things he won't let me do. I'm not going to be a strict dad. I'm not going to be violent. I'm going to be a good dad, not like mine.
And then they make Guy, like, ooh, like, Guy great. Is like, I have a shot right now of Guy, like, hugging this girl.
Oh, and the little girl. Matt also hugged the little boy, hugged him.
Which is,
and then so Guy weird. And Brandy.
The little Brandy has to go stand in front of Guy, and Guy has to apologize to her. And she's like,
yeah. He's like, sorry for walking around naked, and I want you to think you're pretty. Your boobs are just fine the way they are. And then he hugs her. It's so.
Oh, it's terrible.
All right.
Next are the Joneses.
How would you guess that?
Yeah, I mean. These are the three best actors, I think.
They really are.
And my dad.
Where's your mom?
She's gone. She let my dad's mom walk all over her. Plus, my grandma, the way she treated her just drove her away. I'm not going to run like my mom did. I don't want to let anyone drive me away. I'm never going to take crap from a man's mom.
No, what?
My mother was timid.
That was
so
Jim, like, coughing up
the dynamic
marijuana
here,
breath,
I just feel like
by
I need
the way.
To stand up for myself because
of- also, in the middle of that, Tanya's head falls onto Amber's shoulder as if she fell asleep.
She's nodding out. Yeah. Tanya's nodding
she's
out.
She's like, oh, God, this is exhausting.
All right, so we have little Chrissy. She's very cute. The next guest that comes out is little Mama.
This is rough. This little girl's very good.
So what do you like to do for fun?
Well, the movies look like fun, but I'm not allowed to go.
How come?
My mom only lets me go to school or church. Uh-oh. They have a lot of rules. I break them sometimes.
You break the rules?
When I grow up, I'm gonna break them all the time.
Do your parents get along?
Yeah, they don't seem to fight much. I think Dad likes to do drugs.
Oh, we're not going there.
But I understand. It makes all the pain go away.
Mama's freaking out, and the little girl's like,
Mama
no,
is about to
this.
Beat yeah. up that little girl.
The little girl just keeps plowing through. She's like, I have these
yeah,
lines.
She's looking at the doctors like, you guys are going to stop her if she charges me, right? I mean, Mama is pissed, and she's looking at the little girl, and she goes, oh, that's it. That's the limit. I'm done. She's about to throw down at this little girl.
So Mama, like, leaves, and Jim is, like, kind of laughing, actually.
Yeah, he follows her, though, and he's like, all right, hilarious. Come on, Mom, all right, you know, settle down. But the doctors don't want to let Mama get away without revisiting her past. You know, when she's ashamed, Jim, she overreacts. And then we go back to Dr. V asking little Mama if she wants to have a family someday. And she says, do you want me to just go through this?
Yeah, go ahead. She's just like, go to gym.
I'm going to get married a couple times. I'm not going to take crap from any man. I'll stab someone before he hurts me and my kids. I might not see my kids every single day, but I'll be there for them. Again, this is like a 10-year-old girl saying, I'll stab someone before they hurt me and my kids.
She is the best actress, though. She's really making eye contact with the doctors, and she has, like, a sad face. So last to come out is Jim, and they're all laughing. Like, the Joneses are all like,
oh, my God.
Shit.
Now it's a show. It's a movie now. This is entertainment.
It's hilarious.
Look how bad you is.
Little Jim.
And he's in a hoodie.
You're not a big talk. I get it. What's y'all like?
My grandma makes sure I get to school, that I got food, and I don't get in trouble.
Cute.
What
good.
About your mom and dad?
My mom, she's not really the type to take care of me right now.
What do you mean?
She had me when she was 17. She lives nearby, but I don't see her that much. I get it. She's such as a kid herself.
All right, man, they got me crying twice today.
Aww, it's not bad.
You'll be all right.
And they're laughing. They're all laughing. They're like, oh, stupid.
I work so hard.
I guess that's it. The little boy's cute. I mean,
but it's weird because then little Jim says, if I really want to see her, I got to go looking for her out on the streets or in a crack house. And
Mama gets pissed again because she's
like, get the fuck out of here. When have I been in any crack house? And then Jim's like, mommy, starts calling her mommy, which is kind of funny. Mommy. And then he gets pissed at like production because he's like, I never said I was in a crack spot. I was in some risky environments when I went to go find my mother, but it wasn't like I didn't know where my mother was. And they flash back to Jim's
like audition video or something.
Yeah. And I wrote down his quote, what he said in this interview tape. He said, you don't know what it's like being 8, 9, 10 years old, chasing my mother through the streets, going to crack spots, not knowing where she's at. He literally said, I went looking for a crack spot.
I mean, he definitely just feels bad and he's like, fuck, I really
now listen. The reason we did this exercise today, boot campers, your coping mechanisms are passed down from generation to generation. But we want you to stop blaming someone else and learn something about yourself. We hope you find this Christmas gift of perspective valuable as we move closer to your final decision.
Productions See? In their ear like, say Christmas one time at least in this closing.
You didn't think that was going to circle back around, did you, Amanda? But they really did. Christmas gift of perspective. Now then, we have one more guest. Who could it be?
This could have been lifted right out of here.
It's
now
Judge
Toler
who's been listening all day. Good evening, everyone.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
She does. I mean, she comes in with a sermon. I want you to feel past what makes you do everything. Here's another word salad. I want you to feel past what makes you do everything every day so you could do something different that makes tomorrow what you want it to be.
Yeah, I think she started that sentence not really knowing where she was going.
Yeah, well, sure. And then Matt, you know what Matt's response was?
Sure, it makes perfect sense. You know, easy to understand, difficult to put into practice.
If anyone's going to make sense of that, Matt's going to.
He's like, I got that.
What's weird to me is that Judge Toler lets Amber get away with everything. Because when Judge comes in, Amber looks at her with like the serious, like, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I feel this. Take me to church. You know, she's like in it.
Oh, yeah.
And, Judge Toler's glad to see that Amber got to see little Tanya, and she's proud of Matt for staying today. And then Amber says she's proud of Matt, too, and she hopes everyone can see the real Matt. And then she says that Amber was the solid center for that man and that woman because I saw you put your hands on both sides. I'm like, she's sitting in the middle of them.
She's shushing them.
She was shushing Matt, and she was holding Tanya up so she wouldn't
She's
fall
holding
forward.
Tanya's head up. She like snapping in her face. Up. Like, hey, look alive.
She's keeping her from aspirating. She wasn't like doing anything more than that. So then Judge turns her sights to Guy, who she cannot fucking stand.
Of all of these people, she hates Guy.
Guy cannot do anything right. This is what she says to Guy. You put everything you say and do through a machine to see what it's going to look like. It just doesn't seem from the heart to her. And Brandy's like, yeah, my dad thinks about what he's going to say in his head before he says it because he wants it to be perfect. But
that's a good skill, I'd
exactly. Then she goes, but then you're missing out on half of what's going on. And that's why everyone thinks you're fucking crazy.
So does Judge Toler want us all to just speak with no filter? And not think about
Yeah,
what
I'm like,
just
I
talk.
Think about, for the most part, unless we're like recording this, and then it just flies on my head. But like, yeah, he's thinking about what he's saying to his daughter to make sure that it's the perfect thing to say. Why is that bad?
Because she'll fly off the fucking handle.
And then, this is the best. She still talking to Guy, and she uses Jim, as an example of how he should act.
Who is falling asleep again. Yeah. He's just really
Did
slain.
You see how Jim acted when his mama got upset? He enveloped her. Now you are not at the enveloping stage yet, but you need to get there. Like, he hugged his mom. I'm pretty sure Guy would hug also, his daughter if she weren't naked half the time.
Right. When Mama left, the doctors were like, Jim, go follow her. Jim, come on.
He was acting as like a bodyguard. He was like, Mama, yeah. Mama, Mama. He's like a Tanya, like leaning in, like, I'm going to fall over. Hold me up. I'm high.
Yep.
Okay, so then she says to Graziano's, I love to see what you're doing here. You're doing everything great. Okay, great.
All right.
Jim, Mama, and Chrissy, you are this close. And then Mama won't look at her, but she wants her to pause and not overreact while Chrissy and Jim work their shit out. And that's it. Guy is literally Guy's the worst in her eyes. I don't get it.
Matt lied about being raped as a child, and Guy is bad.
Right.
For saying things correctly.
We still have 3 more days to go, by the way. And Tanya,
I'm drained. I hadn't cried probably in a year.
And everyone's heading up to bed.
I don't remember seeing her cry, though, in this. Everyone is out of it, though. Everyone's like, holy
Yeah, you can tell it was a long day. They're exhausted. Yeah. They probably had some drinks. They're just out of it. Mama's still mad because they're talking about crack houses. And we check in at the Portwood Nursery.
Oh, my God. Amber's in, like, a pink onesie, I think.
I thought it was, like a pink long sundress or something.
Oh, no. It had, like, leggies.
Ew.
I think, didn't it? Maybe
probably.
Not. I thought it was, like what Michael is wearing, like, little Michael is wearing in the Peter Pan.
Yeah. Yeah, like footsie jammies. Like the footies.
But maybe not. But she climbs into Matt's bed and he's like, what are you doing? Can you be Amber?
Yeah. Annoying you.
I'm tired. I just want to sleep.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Catch me. Oh, wait. Oh, he says that he doesn't want to fight. It's been a tough day. And then she's like,
oh, right.
He says, I just want you to stay where you are. Okay, she's which trying to, like, mount him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of pushing her to the side of his crib. And then, so she's like, for what? You just got so annoyed because I wanted to cuddle for a second.
What is he? He's like, I don't want to cuddle. I just want to go to
sleep. So why are you being an asshole?
Amber, I just want to be alone.
I'm sick and tired of being in this fucking house.
I just want to sleep, Amber, my God.
Also, so you're going to sit there and act like a fucking asshole? I'm over it.
Yeah.
And then he's begging her.
Yeah.
He just keeps saying, leave me alone. Like, leave me alone. Leave me
Amber,
alone.
Go to your
And she goes,
go
no, 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 fuck you. Interesting.
Another classic Portwood fight. Also, where's Tanya here?
She was laying in her bed. She was laying in her bed because I saw her leg move at the end. I saw her blanket move in her crib. So she is listening to them fighting, but also fighting over the fact that Amber wants to mount Matt. And he's telling her,
like, horned up.
I mean, I have to give it to him. He's saying, leave me alone. Please leave me. That's what he kept saying. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone.
Yeah, but I would probably react. I wouldn't react like Amber, but I'd probably be, like, upset if, like, my boyfriend was, like, get away from me.
But if you're at the point where you're yelling and now he's yelling, please leave me alone.
Yeah.
Just go to your own crib. Like, it's gonna elevate from here. You're asking for it to get out.
And also, you both don't really fit in there. Like, it's just, it's a twin bed. A twin crib.
I would be saying the same thing. Whether it was, like, Dave or my kids, I'd be like, just leave me alone. There's not enough room in my crib for 2 of us.
Did you see, like, the preview for next week, really? Or did you get an indication on what's about to happen?
I didn't really see much.
Okay. I didn't really. Yeah, I watched it, but I didn't see anything with the Portwoods. Because that's really
what
we're here
for. Yeah, because I was wondering, when is Matt leaving? When is he taking
it's
off?
It's on, I think it's just the second to last episode. It's on Lie Detector Day.
Okay.
That was epic. But that was the best episode of the season, I think.
I kind of want to look up those child actors' names. I'm sure they're in the credits at some point and see.
Oh, they must be. Oh, yeah.
If this was their big break or if they're now in counseling having to hug Guy after saying she wants to get bigger boobs.
The worst one was the little boy who had to play Matt who said, I was abused sexually.
Right. And then had to hug Matt and take advice from Matt about not getting sexually abused.
Oof. I just judge the parents that allow their kids to take this job. Yeah. And there's no way the kids were making more than, like, you know,
$100
maybe. Yeah, $100 I'd say $100
Oof.
Maybe less. It. Sometimes kids, whenever I used to do theater, all the adults would be paid, and then the kids, like, it would be 8-9 shows a week, and the kids would be paid zero still.
What?
And they'd have to, like, get out of school for, like, the matinees, and they'd be doing, they would usually split the kid, like, split the cast.
They wouldn't get paid at all?
They wouldn't get paid at all.
Why are they doing it? Just for, like, experience?
When I was in Miracle on 34th Street, the little girl that was, like, the lead of the show, she got paid zero. She was the lead on in Miracle on 34th Street, and everyone else got paid except, like, the kids. And even she
why is that though? What's the reasoning?
Because I think they know that they can get away with it. I mean, I was wow. doing I was doing non-union. I'm sure, like, union they would be paid, but yeah, because they know that especially, like, theater parents, they'll have their kids take any gig and they're happy to, like, have them do it.
Jesus.
So yeah,
maybe it was like the crew's kids or something, some producer's kids don't wanted to get on and do it.
Either way, it's this is a fucked up episode. And, like, I think that this has scarred, like, the Granzianos and, like, Amber and Tanya more than any of the help they've gotten in the past 7 days. Can we repeat?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's that, guys.
Yeah. Guys, don't rat other guys out.
Guys, don't rat out other guys. That's
guys, don't rat out other guys. Jesus. Get that one for that special man in your life. Put that on your winter reading list. All right. Well, all right, what do you have coming up this week?
We have on TRP.
Double Toil and Trouble.
The Olsen Twins movie with
Eric. It's so bad. I'm halfway through and it is real, real bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't fucking wait. And then we're doing Supernatural. And then I'm putting out my main feed episode of Teen Mom. I'm finally on season 4 of Teen Mom OG. It's the very first episode I'll be doing. That'll be fun. What do you got coming up?
I have my episode on regular, like the regular iTunes podcast. What did I do? Married at First Sight and Love After Lockup. Mm-hmm. And then on Patreon, which obviously if you're listening to this now, you can hear it, is 90 Day Fiancé.
And oh, for and our...
I, yeah,
oh, go ahead.
I think that... No, I think it's a...
For our bonus for, I think we're going to do it next week. We're going to recap Unsolved Mysteries season 2 on Netflix. It's pretty good.
And we're still remembering our series that we have for Total Request Podcast. I had a couple people ask, you are going to catch up on Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Yes.
Which I'm so obsessed with. And I don't think you gave me the next one.
I will figure it out.
All right.
Once we get through October. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We love you very much. Sorry for being a couple days late, but I hope you enjoyed this almost 2 hours of Marriage Boot Camp.
Yeah. I'm going to go have a drink for my scoliosis. My prescriptions will be here on Tuesday.
I might order another cheeseburger pizza. All right, guys. Love
Your
you.
Your asshole will have a rupture.
Oh, it definitely will. Bye.